There's always a will, there's always a way, but today's training of the day will change everything for you because working with and communicating with open minds is essential to everything that I do. And in today's accelerated, fast-moving world of interference, noise, and overthinking, there's so many commonalities, but they don't have to be constant commonalities. The most impactful leaders, performers, and entrepreneurs that I work with, celebrities, athletes, entertainers, billionaires, millionaires, they all share one superpower, the ability to remain in the majesty of calmness, to be at ease, to be centered in harmony and open, no matter what chaos surrounds them, what circumstances arise. It is tranquility and ease isn't quite just about staying quiet. It's about staying aligned and harmonious and open. Openness isn't about agreeing with everything. It's about being available to receive more, to give more, to be given more, to share more appreciation in your perspective, more insight, and more growth. This training is all about learning to practice an open mind. It's a muscle. We need to develop our awareness to when we're interfering with our open mind, our open heart, which leads to open hands. We need to cultivate this inner peace as a foundation for outer impact. We need to unlock new levels of clarity, creativity, harmony, and decision-making through this open-mindedness. When we ground ourselves in stillness and lead with curiosity, we create a space where growth isn't force, it's flow. And we will put you into the flow. If you would like the guide and exercise from today to create an open mind, to understand the power and practice of an open mind, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I will send you this guide and these exercises to practice an open mind. There's an open-minded principle that I utilize to help people practice having an open mind. The first principle is that an open mind isn't weak. It is strong because it's wise. It means you're humble in your perspective. Humility will lead to the growth, and the curiosity will give us enough power to evolve, expand, accelerate into something bigger, better than we want to be. We can secure enough through the change of our mind, utilizing the practice of an open mind. So many business owners that I work with are willing to pivot or expand after listening to feedback from customers, associates, from employees, from family members. And this feedback not just expands their business, but sometimes it saves it. A rigid competitor will fold without the open mind of receptive feedback. Our ego, which consists of how we react to fear, which edges goodness, gold, and greatness out of our life and God out of our life, it has a desire. It has a desire for certainty because certainty alleviates the fear in which it reacts to. It is the growth, though, through an open mind that will demand not certainty, but curiosity and appreciation. Learn to identify at least one belief or one opinion a day that you hold tightly in the conscious, subconscious, or even in your unconscious competency. Explore the opposite perspective of this belief or opinion. Look to see and find the light, the love, and the lesson in this perspective, this opposite of your beliefs and feelings. And utilize this appreciation to find the light, the love, and the lessons in order to continue to expand and exercise and develop an open mind, a curious mind that co-creates, commands, and collaborates with the infinite. We can create journals and notes and codifications and capture when we feel resistance and asking ourselves, how am I reacting to the fear? Looking for the clues, the patterns, and the choices that we make. Remember, when we listen to the wrong voices, we make the wrong choices. And those voices can be the clues and the patterns to lead us to those wrong choices. If we want to practice an open mind, we need to cultivate tranquility and ease by shifting a paradigm through these daily practices to identify what we're doing to interfere with our tranquility and ease. The outer world will reflect our inner worlds. The outer state reflects the inner state. When you are intentionally building ease into your day by identifying the interference between you and that ease, our stress loses its grip on you. It allows us to open our mind even further, to look for the light, the love, and the lessons, to be curious, collaborate, and coordinate, and command the universe with where we desire to be or better. So many founders I work with start each day with gratitude and breath work. They have non-negotiable behaviors that allows us to end our days with clarity and harmony and focus instead of interference, which causes burnout or lack or diminished capacity of energy, information, intuition, and inspiration. We build peace through the clues and the patterns and our choices, not the minutes and moments of reaction to fear. Let's start every morning with three things that we're grateful for, remembering that gratitude is the fastest and easiest way to impact others and ourselves. That by saying thank you each day before we go to bed and when we wake up and thinking of things that we're grateful for at all times will guarantee success and impact and exponential outcomes in our lives, designed and aligned with where we want to be or better. The interesting thing is it takes 0.1 seconds to say thank you. And everybody on earth agrees the power of gratitude. But yet by tonight, although it takes 0.1 seconds and it's free, and everybody agrees the power of gratitude, at least half of us won't say thank you. And by tomorrow morning, another half won't say thank you. In three days, believe it or not, almost all of us will stop saying thank you and forget. Notating again the simple things to do, the simple things to practice are simple not to do. Utilize our stop, drop, and roll methodology anytime that the mind is on fire, the mind is closed. We need to stop and pause and breathe and drop and then roll into our intention to cultivate the ease that exists and dissipate, dissolve, disappear the dis-ease. The third thing is we want to expand our open mind. There's many techniques for openness of the open mind, the open heart that gives us the open hands to give more, be given more, receive more, and ask for more than more. When we have the right voices and the right choices, listening isn't waiting to speak. You know, in the open-mindedness and expansion, there's three types of listeners. There's the interrupter, the waiter, and the processor. The interrupter just interrupts you and lets you know what they think. The waiter is just waiting for you to finish speaking so they can tell you what they think. And the open mind is an intelligent follower who's curious, co-creating, collaborating, and coordinating with you from what you think to appreciate the differences and create a synergy and ease in the inspiration, intuition, and intelligence that you share. It's learning to understand and appreciate. It's the curiosity that fuels the coordination and collaboration, the innovation and the trust between two people or more. So many managers I work with ask open-ended questions to unlock the new solutions from their teams, their associates, their customers, their vendors, their families, their friends. And these solutions, these re-solutions, were not visible before. The awareness wasn't there until they opened their mind to share their questions and relate their suggestions. Openness begins with questions and suggestions, not answers. Openness is a curiosity, a collaborative tool to practice a technique for openness of mind, heart, and hands. We want to practice this active listening, this process of listening, and remind ourselves when we're interrupting or we're waiting to interrupt, especially in our repetitive discipline practices and behaviors. What you hear before you respond will make it clear on how to respond, dissipating and diminishing the fear that exists when we don't listen. Let's replace our judgments and conditions with curiosity and appreciation with one of our conversations today. Let's crawl before we walk, before we run. It is harmony that we're looking for in harmonizing the tranquility in alignment, synergistically, supplementary to the drive that we have, the desire that we must be what we can be in the consistent, persistent pursuit of what we want, not what other people want, what's missing and what we don't have. You don't have to choose between peace and ambition. You don't have to choose between Buddha and ferociousness. When we combine the harmonization and tranquility and drive, when we combine, they become the greatest asset of reconciliation, remembrance, or reminders to the inspiration, its intelligence, and intuition that we have. I work with so many athletes that visualize success from a place of a majesty of calmness, a comfortable state of mind, body, and soul that brings confidence to the handset, allowing them to outperform others who operate on nervous energy, even though excitement and worry have the same frequency. If we utilize it in the wrong trajectory, it can interfere with our behaviors or our performance instead of helping to harmonize those with greater outcomes. The idea of harmonizing tranquility and drive with a stillness and ease is certainly a launch pad, not a standstill, as so many think it is. It is an activity which provides acceleration and exponentiality in our pursuit of our potential. We need to anchor our goals not only in wisdom, but in faith, not fear. It is the wisdom and the faith that will shorten the distance of resistance that fear is creating, and the reaction to fear is already created with the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, and resentful. We need to track or quantify or measure our success. You can't see progress in something that's not measurable, whether you use time or emotion or value or money. These moments need to be tracked, where ease, tranquility, and harmony and peace gave you the clarity and focus during high-pressure decision-making capability. Harmonizing and being a ferocious Buddha, being tranquil and driven towards the desires that you have in a design direction, a divine direction, to minimize the shortening, the distance or resistance between you and where you want to be, not where other want you to be, not what's missing, what you don't have. Lesson five, we need to leverage the ease and tranquility in our businesses and leadership within the context of those businesses. So many leaders who operate from a majesty of calmness, a center that inspire trust, attract better collaboration, coordination, and commandments that create cultures of innovation and intuition and intelligence. I work with so many CEOs who have learned to prioritize their well-being and their emotional safety to build teams around them internally and externally that perform with not only creativity and commandment, but with loyalty and trust. The energy you bring into the room internally and externally becomes the energies that others reflect back to you. This is most notably seen as when we have an infant and we don't understand why the infant won't calm down as we get more and more anxious and upset and frustrated. Why does the baby get so anxious, upset, and frustrated as well? The same with your employees. They're just like infants. They're going to respond and reflect your energy back onto you. You can't find outside of you what they can't see inside of you. We can lead our next meetings with presence, not pressure, with an idea of awareness and a frequency of a neighborhood to be of value to others, to want to help each other and know people that can help each other. We create new opportunities, options, and touches of favor every single day by utilizing open dialogue, open mind, open heart, and open hand to utilize the feedback to promote, protect, love, and perfect, to indicate we have a better place to be, a better situation to be in, not punished by judgment or condition of suggestions and questions of how we can do things better. The sixth lesson is visualization. The visualization is a path, it's a journey, it's directions to the clarity, harmony, and focus that we need to pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences that we want in our life, the coinciding of all we desire. When we can elevate our awareness, our frequency, elevate our neighborhood to make things easy, to know and see things, allow us to have cheat codes, to tell us all its secrets. And when we see clearly, we act confidently. Visualization with a majesty of calmness, a tranquil state of mind, body, and soul, allows us to align the emotion, value, and energy and execute aligned with where we want to be or better. Even if there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where we want to be, we can accelerate, aggregate, and grow exponentially towards the divine that we desire. So many creatives that I work with visualize their success of a launch of an executed business model from a place of a majesty of calmness, a grounded belief in what we do say, think, and feel. And it shows up more powerfully, more presently as the results come in. We manifest from this neighborhood, this frequency that we operate on. There is a majesty of calmness that allows us to outperform anxious urgencies every time. We need different exercises and guides like this one in order to facilitate the visualization each morning, focusing in on what we want personally, experientially, giving and receiving wise. And if anybody wants the guided visualization of these practices, please email me, David@themelter.com, along with the exercises and guides that we have here. But the first step of visualization is knowing what you want and then aligning the meaning of the path with what we want, because it's the meaning of the setbacks, failures, mistakes, the defining moments and historical relevances that limit our self-image, our visualization of where we want to be or better. And we know we'll never overachieve what? We'll never overachieve what? We'll never overachieve our own self-image. And it is through not only the visualization of what we want in alignment of where we want to be, but the meaning that we give the past in order to get there. And if we do so, it'll take the nothingness that most people live in, the path of the myth of Sisyphus, rolling a boulder to the top of the hill just to have it roll down again to the bottom. It'll take the nothingness of living your life like a tube, food in and food out. And it'll take that nothingness, and when you know what you want and visualize it and align the meaning of the past with it, your nothingness will be a possibility, a mathematical advantage in what you want. And then to take that possibility and make it a probability, we simply need to know who we can help and who can help us. Fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there, ask them for directions, and find someone that needs to get somewhere and give them directions. Knowing the nothingness to the probability of knowing your what, to the possibility. Sorry, the possibility of knowing your what to the probability of knowing your who. The third step in the visualization is knowing our how. How can we be productive, accessible, gracious, in alignment with where we want to be or better, and giving the meaning of the past in synergy and alignment with so as well. Understanding how to use the negotiables and non-negotiables, having a relationship to the circumstances by doing our best, learning lessons, having fun, being more efficient, more effective, and more statistically successful. Because if we know our how, the possibilities turn probabilities now become our perspective. And we use gratitude with productivity and accessibility to give us that perspective, to find the light, the love, and the lessons in the circumstances, in the setbacks, failures, and mistakes, in the non-negotiable things that we don't like to do every day and don't love to do every day, but doing them consistently, persistently in the pursuit of our potential will give our life its cheat codes and secrets. It'll make life easy by showing us the diseasy. Visualizations are these outcomes from the lenses of possibility, probability, and perspective of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, not interference or lack or shortages, voids, and obstacles. When we take our lives in the realm of nothingness and know what we want in alignment of where we want to be, a possibility, and then knowing who we can help and who can help us, a probability, and then how to utilize that in the productivity, accessibility, and gratitude of our perspective, we now can take the circumstances of the day into the context of prioritizing not just our non-negotiable behavior, but the negotiable opportunities, options, and touches of favor that we have. Taking that perspective and making it our reality. Why? Because 100% of the things we do now get done. 100% of the things we do next get done. The most efficient, effective, and statistically successful thing you can do is do it now. So know your now and know your next in order to make it your reality. We can take the nothingness, the possibilities, the probabilities of perspective, and make it your reality through these guided visualization practices each and every day, every morning as you wake up and say thank you. Leaving us with the last step of visualization to the path of clarity, harmony, and focus, to the path of infinite information and energy and inspiration and intuition. This path is only fueled by your why. There is no searching for your why. It is applying your why. The final step in perspective, the final step in open-mindedness. Take your nothingness, take everyone around you living like tubes, food in and food out, and give them the what in alignment with where they want to be or better, and the meaning aligned as well to make it a possibility. Know their who they can help and who can help them to make it a probability. Give them perspective, utilizing the lenses of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude to prioritize according to the circumstances, to do it now. 100% of the things you do now and do next get done. Prioritization is the antidote to the fog. It's the antidote to feeling overwhelmed. It's the antidote to procrastination, which allows you to visualize and apply your why. The most powerful thing you can do as a leader, an entrepreneur, a human being, is to practice and train your mind to stay peaceful and open in the face of uncertainty. Tranquility and ease is not a weakness. It's a wisdom and a faith to shorten the distance of resistance that exists in your life. An open mind is not an indecision. It's a decision. It's an intelligence, inspiration, and intuition. When you commit to these daily practices that I'm happy to send you, david@dmeltzer.com. When you commit to the daily practices in these exercises, and you know your what, your who, your how, your now, and apply your why. You understand the principles of open-mindedness. You cultivate the tranquility and ease and harmony through the daily practices. You expand your mind, your body, and your soul with the techniques for openness. You harmonize them in tranquility and drive. Be a ferocious Buddha. You don't have to choose between peace and ambition. And then you're able and capable as a business and as a leader to leverage these, to identify how you react to fear, shortening that distance of resistance that we talk about, to visualize our path, our journey, our divine direction, even in the course of divine detours and divine time. When you commit to these daily practices that nurture both your mindset that's resilient in its adversity, generous in conflict, and expansive in opportunities, you become a majesty of calmness in the storm and the signal in the noise, the frequency of the neighborhood. Someone and so many others can trust, follow, and grow with us. We start small. We stay consistent. We learn to love what we don't like and what we don't love and stay persistent without quitting in the pursuit of what we want, not what others want, not what's missing and what we don't have. We remember, remind, and recollect to our source and become greater resources. That the world doesn't need louder voices because it's the wrong voices that make the wrong choices. It's the right voices that allow us to make the right choices based off of the clues, patterns that we experience in this path. We need more peace. We need more ease. We need to shorten the distance of resistance to turn our nothingness into possibilities, probabilities, and perspective to make it our reality and apply our why. Let this practice of open-mindedness be your guiding light. Open minds, open hearts, and open hands. A practice of an open mind to be able to give more, be given more, receive more, and ask for more than more. I promise you, if you practice the open mind, utilizing the principles, the practices, the techniques, the drive, the reconciliation and leverage on the path of the divine, you will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. This has been the Napoleon Hill Institute weekly training. Thank you, everyone. We will be back. Come and join us anytime. We appreciate you.